Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Can you imagine taking a trip that required months to plan and that you took at great expense, something that you looked forward to for an entire year, only to arrive at your planned destination and to see something so wonderful, so astounding, that you completely change your plans, that you fail to follow through with your original intent? The Bible tells us of just such a group of people. Many of us remember the story of Jesus making his triumphant entry into the city, riding on the back of a donkey, with palm leaves being spread on the ground before him. Because of these events, and I'm sure other stir that took place in the city of Jerusalem following it, this group of Greeks had heard about Jesus, but they hadn't seen him. Like many of us, they would like to see someone who was famous and someone who was important. But much more than that, this person was famous and important because he claimed to be the Son of God, claimed to be deity himself, the Savior of the world. They came to Philip, and we have recorded for us in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 21, these words. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. At this time, please get your Bibles and prepare to look into God's Word with us as we look at seeing Jesus. People today are still in search of Jesus. Many, lacking happiness and direction, lacking hope in their lives, turn to things like drugs and alcohol and sometimes even sex. Some turn to religion, and you might think that that's a good, that they would turn to religion, but it's only good if in turning to religion they actually find the Jesus of the Bible, because there are many different Jesuses out there. All you have to do is listen to people talk. Listen to what they teach, and you will hear Jesus painted in a variety of ways. We must find the Jesus that the Bible shows us, if it's actually going to benefit us. If someone came to you and asked to see Jesus, what would you show him? Would you tell him that Jesus is now in heaven, and therefore his request is impossible? I hope not, because we must all show Jesus, and we must all come to understand and see Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about Jesus in a physical sense, because he is in fact in heaven. And until he comes once again in that great day to begin the end of all time, when the judgment will come and all the dead shall be raised, no man will see him again. But we can see Jesus through the Bible, through the preaching of Jesus. We're going to divide our study into four parts. As we use our guide, Philip, but not Philip the apostle that we read about earlier, we're going to use Philip the evangelist, Philip the preacher. And in Acts chapter 8, we read the account of two different opportunities that Philip had to preach Jesus, where Philip made as his goal showing Jesus to those who were lost. If we can learn what it was that Philip taught to those who were needing to see Jesus at that time, then we will understand what we need to know in order to properly see the Jesus of the Bible. Let's begin our study in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, where we're going to find out the first of these four important areas that Philip emphasized in showing Jesus. We find in Acts 8 and verse 5 that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. 7 verses later, we learn some of the details of Philip's lesson and the results that it brought about. In verse 12, we read, But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8 and verse 12. It's here that we begin to fill in our picture of Jesus as the Bible shows him. We see that in preaching Jesus, Philip taught the Samaritans about the kingdom of God. Therefore, if we're going to see Jesus as the Bible presents him, we must understand what the Bible teaches about the kingdom of God. The first thing that we notice about the kingdom is that it has already been established. It's already in existence. Now, I know that most people, in fact, most preachers on the radio, will not agree with that. Unfortunately, most of it false regarding the end of time, the rapture, the years of tribulation, Armageddon, and the battles of Gog and Magog. All these events, we are told, lead up to the establishment of the kingdom. Nevertheless, that's not what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul, in greeting the Colossians, reminded them that he was praying for them. In his prayers, Paul said he was, notice the words here, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, understood that the kingdom was already in existence, and God had already placed him and the Colossian Christians into that kingdom. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, John comes to the same conclusion, for he writes, I, John, who am also also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Notice that John does not say that he will be their companion in the kingdom, but that he is their companion in the kingdom. This means that the kingdom has to have been in existence for at least for almost 2,000 years, and we must understand that in order to see the Jesus of the Bible. But if the kingdom does in fact exist today, where is it? How can I find it? The Bible provides the only answer worth having. Follow along in your Bible and see the path that Jesus lays that points us to the beginning of the kingdom. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them which stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." These words of our Lord clearly place the establishment of the kingdom during the lifetime of that generation. Additionally, Jesus links the coming of the kingdom with something called power. Now, notice the words of Jesus to his disciples as he was getting ready to ascend into heaven. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me." Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. What had been promised to them? We find out down in verse 8 of that same chapter, Acts chapter 1, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Let's understand then that Jesus placed the establishment of the kingdom during the lifetime of those who were hearing him preach, and also said that it would come with power. But it's not the only thing that would come with power, for they would receive power, they being the apostles, after the Holy Ghost had come upon them. So these events then, the establishment of the kingdom, the coming of power, the coming of the Holy Spirit, were all tied together, and we see their fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. Here we find that the disciples are waiting in Jerusalem as they were instructed, and in verse 4 of Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon man, an event that is marvelous in and of itself. However, we now understand that there's a deeper and more extended meaning. Remember, with the coming of the Spirit, the disciples would receive power. We also know that the kingdom would come with power. Was there something established in Acts chapter 2? Can we in fact find the beginning of the kingdom in Acts chapter 2? The answer is yes. Notice the very last verse of Acts 2. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Acts 2 and verse 47. See, something was established on this great day. It was established when the Spirit came. It was established when the power came. It was established during the lifetime of those to whom Jesus preached. And it has added to it all those that God identifies as being saved. It is the church. It's the kingdom. We shouldn't be surprised. Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "I will build my church." He then follows that in the very next verse by telling Peter, "And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Jesus intended for us to understand from the very beginning that the kingdom and the church are one and the same. It has already been established, and the kingdom is the church. We must understand that if we're going to see the Jesus of the Bible, for how can we understand the King if we do not understand his kingdom? This is what the Bible teaches, and this is what we must understand if we are going to see Jesus today. It is important that we see Jesus, but don't take a false image of the Christ. Rather, look at the Jesus of the Bible. Look at him the way the Holy Spirit depicts him in holy writing, and follow that Jesus.